Acts chapter 8. Well, we're only going to get through part of this verse here because we're going to talk about something. We're going to talk about angels here today, tonight, and we're going to deal with angels and kind of their ministry and what they do. I thought this was a good time to do that because here we have the impact of an angel, an angelic visit here that takes place for Philip. And at this time, Philip is going to be taken away from the revival. He's going to be taken away from his duties that he has. And this angel, the Lord, speaks unto him and tells him, get out of here. We'll talk more about that next week. But I thought it'd be a good time because there's a lot of false doctrine out there concerning angels. There's a lot of false teachings and people talking about visitations that they have. And I think there's some confusion on what angels actually do. And I think it's important for us to look at that. And right here's a good idea or a good time to do that. The angels were used quite a bit in the book of Acts, which is understandable because in the book of Acts, you have the church, being sent out, and you have it to evangelize the whole world, and you've got Satan that is opposing them, and then you have the whole world opposing them, basically, and that God uses these angels and he uses special signs and wonders through these angels to be used in order that men might see and that the Jews would see that God was with them in all that they did as they were converted and saved and changed and everything else. But we'll kind of go broader than just the book of Acts here. We'll actually go into the scriptures and some other verses and look at that here tonight of what exactly these angels do. And so you have a good understanding of that. I think it's important that we do that, that we kind of understand their ministry and a few things about them, some characteristics and things. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us as we go through the scriptures tonight here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, on my broadcast this afternoon, I talked about evil angels, and I dealt with them a little bit and some of their works and what they do. But tonight, we're going to talk about the Lord's angels. And there are two sets of angels that are out there. There are either the Lord's angels or there are Lucifer's angels. There are two groups of angels out there. There are evil angels, which are spirits. Okay. Somebody asked me, do you believe that the spirits of the giants or the devils that roam the earth? I used to think that that was possible, but I don't believe that now. And here's the reason why. Because when you define the word, when you look through the scriptures, here's what you find. You find angels, spirits, devils. You find all of those used interchangeably. So Satan is called what? He's called the devil, right? He's called an angel of light. He comes as an angel of light, right? He's a cherub, which is like a beastly angel or figure, right? He's a beast. Satan's a beast. And then you find that these unclean spirits and devils are used interchangeably. So I believe the unclean spirits, the devils, the fallen angels are all the same beings. I think they have different functions, and we find their different functions in Ephesians. So we find the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. The principalities are who? They're the princes, the prince of Persia, right? Daniel, Michael, the archangel, and Gabriel, or Michael and Gabriel fought against the prince of Persia and the other principalities. That's where we get that name. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Those are the princes. And then we have the principalities. We have the rulers of the darkness of this world, which are just under those principalities, I believe. So you have different classes there. They're rulers of the darkness of this world. Yes. Yes, they are. And unclean spirits. They were all created as angels, and they fell. And the Bible tells us how they fell. They followed Lucifer, okay, and they followed him. Many of them followed his pernicious ways. They went with him. The others, there was a group of them that also fell in Genesis chapter 6. So I covered that this morning. You can go listen to that one in Genesis chapter this afternoon, not this morning. Genesis chapter 6. Those angels fell. Second Peter tells us that they left their first estate. Jude tells us that they went after strange flesh. Job tells us that God charged those angels with folly. What is folly? It's lewdness. It's fornication. It's wickedness, right? That's what it is. The same thing that Sodom was charged with, going after strange flesh. It says that they're in a holding cell. They were charged and they're being held. Well, what was their charge? Folly. That was their charge. They were charged with that. And they're going to answer for that in the end. Right? So that's the bad ones. That's where some of those are. Now, not all of them are there. Just the ones that left their first estate and did that. The other ones caught on that might not be such a good idea. Because I'm going to go there if I do that. So I'm not going to do that. I don't want to go into everlasting darkness right now. I don't want to be changed. Right. I don't want to go. Hast thou come to torment us before the time? They didn't want to be cast out of the abyss. We don't want to go there. We know where those guys are at. We don't want to go there. Don't send us there. Put us in these swine, but don't send us there. We don't want to go to blackness and darkness for the next thousands of years until judgment. They didn't want to go there. So they were able to roam on the earth, but they didn't do what those angels that left their first estate did, that were chained. Now, it could be that four of them did it, another four did it. After those, they went to the land of Canaan and they repopulated Canaan with giants. It could be that those four are the four that are bound in the river Euphrates. So there's another four that could have repopulated that. That's where they, because the Bible says, loose the four angels that are bound in the river Euphrates. There's four angels that are bound there. I don't know why they're bound there. I'm guessing that that's probably the reason they were bound there. But I don't know. And that would stand to reason why there's not a bunch of angels still doing that. Because they did it, and they got bound for it. Right now. Right. Until things change. Which they will. But anyway, so those are the bad angels. We don't want to talk about those tonight too much, but we're going to talk about the good ones. What do angels do? So in our text verse, it says, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, we're not going to talk about that, but there's a lot in there. And we'll talk about Philip next week. Because when we talk about him, we switch from Simon the sorcerer to Philip. And I want to talk a little bit next week about Philip. Because a lot happened to him in that short amount of time. It's like a whirlwind that he went through. But we'll cover him next week. For right now, what we're going to talk about is, what do angels do? Well, number one, they worship God. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. And we're going to be all over the Bible here because I think it's important. We see this angel did something. The angel of the Lord came and did something marvelous with Philip. He showed him a lot. I mean, that's pretty amazing what happened there. So there's a ministry there. The Bible says they're ministers. And we're going to talk about that. They are servants. They are ministers. I'll show you a bunch of Bible verses for that. Revelation 5. We're going to be through a lot of verses here. Verse number 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. There's your beasts. Remember, there's all these people that don't want to believe any of this is really happening. There are beasts in heaven. They're right there. You see that? They're there. So when you hear people say things that they want to explain away these hybrids, God made some pretty strange beasts. They'd be strange to us. But God made some pretty strange beasts that we don't understand. And Pastor Hoggard, one thing that he said was, a lot of those beasts that he created up in heaven, there's some that are modeled after that on earth. You know? What's that? Exactly. Yes. They are different. Yeah, and that's why they'd be different to us, because they're not the same as us. No, not to them, but they are to us. Everything's peculiar like that to us. We can't fathom that. We can't. That's why when you see an angel or you see one of those things, you'd fall down on your face in fear, because you've never seen, or you'd be mesmerized by it. You've never seen anything like that before. It's different. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen. So there you go. How about Psalm 148? Let's turn there. Psalm 148, verse 2. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. They praise the angels. They worship God. They praise God. We're going to talk about some things we can learn from angels at the end of this. They serve and they obey God. Psalm 103. It's one of my chapters I memorized there. Praise the Lord. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. That's what they do. They hearken unto the voice. Psalm 103. They hearken unto the voice of his word. You know, they don't think about whether they're going to obey God. Let that sit in your brain and swirl a little bit. They minister and they protect God's people. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. We'll probably double up on some of these, but that's okay. Hebrews chapter 1. It's your angelology class tonight. Hebrews chapter 1, 14, verse number 14. Oh, let's go to 13. Let's read that. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? Ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So the Lord says that they are sent to be servants to us. And they are. You just don't know it. You entertain them unawares. You don't know it. You don't know that they're around. You don't know what they've done for you. You have no idea. You're not to communicate with them. You're not told to. They are his servants, and they are sent forth to minister. You have no idea how many times your bacon has been saved by one of those. No idea at all. And I'm serious, because you've done some really stupid things in your life. So have I. I know full well. I know full well God's protection has been there. That he just sent an angel in there when things were going crazy. Tell you what, you would have been devoured. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 2. We'll come back to this verse. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You don't know. We'll talk about that a little bit later. The angels have been involved with redeeming sinners throughout history. They've been involved with that, with their protection. They're participants in God's eternal plan. The Bible says that in Ephesians 1. Let's turn there. They're servants, they're ministers. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. All things in Christ. Angels ministered unto Hagar in Genesis chapter 16. Remember that? Hagar's out there and Sarah, her mistress there, sent her away and sent her to die, basically, just get away. And the angel came and ministered unto Hagar. Said, go back. What's that? Yes, they were visible to them. I believe so. Well, let's look at Lot in Genesis chapter 19. This is one of those angels unaware visits. Lot had no idea they were angels at first. I don't think Abraham knew it at first either. They come in the form of a man. Genesis chapter 19, verse number 1 through 15. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. We're not scared of these homos. We'll sit here and we'll fry them all right in front of you. We're going to cook the whole city. We're going to melt it all down. All the sods are going bye-bye." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him. See, they couldn't refuse him. They were sent there to protect him. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." Translation, they want to rape angels. Well, they were beautiful men that they had never seen anything like it before, and they could sense their purity, so they wanted to defile it. That's exactly what that is. They smelled their purity. They saw it, and they knew they were pure men, and they wanted to defile them. No, they had no idea what they were getting themselves into. Right. If you look at it, it says the men, the children, all of them, both old and young, all of them. Why? Because that's what evil does. It hunts for what? The precious life. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after them. But before they lay down in the city, even the men of Sodom compassed the house round about. So they called out unto Lot there, and Lot went out to the door. And he said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them in unto you, them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Now, I think Lot pretty much knew that they didn't like women anyway. He was probably fairly sure of that. He was still backslidden, though, and still wrong. And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn. He will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So they still didn't give up after that. They still wanted. How wicked they were. But here you have these angels that are protecting Lot, right? And his family. They ministered. They were ministers. Jacob in Genesis 28, verse number 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. How about Moses in Exodus 3? Verse number 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, that's important right there. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire, because that's what they're made of. Fire. They're made of fire. You see it over and over and over and over again in the scriptures that they're made of fire. And we'll read those verses to you in a little while here. Israel in the wilderness, Exodus chapter 14. More angelic activity there. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. I want you to think about that, because that's the way the gospel works. It's a light to those that are saved, but it's absolute darkness to those that are not. God's judgment, God is a light to his children, but he is absolute darkness and fear and dread for the lost. That's the difference. Right. It gave light by night to these so that one came not near the other all night. So to one, it's light by night. To the other, it's clouds and darkness. See the difference? Same God, though. Paul talked about that. He said, to some you're the minister of life unto life, and to others, death unto death. Yep. Exodus chapter 23. Behold, I send an angel before, verse number 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Yep. And then you have Israel in the time of the judges. You have Gideon, right? The angel came. Samson's parents. Samson's parents are very interesting when you look at that. Maybe we'll, I think I have those that recorded somewhere else. You have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Obviously, it was one like the Son of God, right? He said he saw the Son of God in there. But we understand that. And then in other places, the angel that shut the mouths of the lions for Daniel. So the lions didn't harm him, right? There's that. They appeared unto Zechariah, the angels did. The angels that accompany the saints to heaven when they die? Luke 16:22. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Look what it says here. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Buried in hell. But you see, you can see that angels have a role in that. Angels revealed things to prophets all over the scriptures. Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. There you go. I'm getting more blunt than that, do you? Revelation 17:1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. There you go. That's their work. That's what they do. Angels accompany saints to heaven, like we said. Angels had a major role in Christ's incarnation. They appeared to Zacharias, didn't they? Luke chapter 1. Let's go there. Luke chapter 1. So they are servants. They are ministers. They are ministering. Verse number 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Explain that one theologically. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak, and not able to speak until the day of these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. He didn't believe him. So he said, you're not going to be able to talk. That's what happened to him. Now, he didn't do that to Mary when Mary asked the question, because Mary, she didn't have a husband. She said, I haven't been with any with a man, so how in the world could I have a baby? That was a very logical question she asked. But Zacharias showed a lack of faith, because he told him, your prayers have been answered. Your wife is going to have a child. He told him how it was going to happen. But he said, how's this going to happen? I'm an old man. See the difference? Mary didn't have a husband yet. Mary hadn't been with anybody yet. She was a spouse. She didn't have a husband. So she had good reason to ask that question. But he didn't. He had a lack of faith. So the Lord chastised him for it. Amen. I wonder how many times you and I get chastised because of our lack of faith. That's a good question, isn't it? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Okay, so he appeared unto Joseph, Matthew chapter 1. I think this one's good, because I imagine Joseph, he was a little concerned about some things. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared. Because look at verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He's like, all right, I got to figure out a good way to make this quiet and go away. Lock her up. Yeah, that's right. I got to figure out a good way for this to be done. That I don't, because he was a good man. And he didn't want to destroy her reputation either. So he's like, how can I do this? So she. But while he thought on these things, so he's sitting there, he's thinking, how in the world is this going to work? Thank God for that visitation of that angel, right? That cleared up a lot for him. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. I can believe in a worldwide flood. I believe a lot of things because I believe in a virgin birth. I believe God made an ark float. I believe a lot of things happen. And I don't understand a lot of it, but I don't have to. I just believe it. Because God said he did it. Amen. So he appeared unto Mary, Joseph, the shepherds. They worship Christ. That's another thing that angels do. They worship Christ. How about Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 6? That shows you how Christ is God, doesn't it? That's another proof. Another proof that Christ is God. Hebrews chapter 1. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. All. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits. So there's how you know angels are spirits. So when people say, well, that unclean spirit must be the spirit of a giant. No, it says right here, angels are spirits. That's what they are, right? Angels are spirits. It is ministers of flame of fire. Now, I've had people say, I had one guy argue to me one time and say, well, that's talking about preachers. No, it's not. It's talking about angels. That's what it says. Now, he does make his ministers a flame of fire. I'll agree with you there in that sense. But that's not what it's directly dealing with. He's dealing with the angels here, and he's dealing with the incarnation of Christ coming into the world. And again, he bringeth in the first begotten of the world. He saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Notice the other verses. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Because he was brought into the world. Amen. So angels ministered. Angels worshiped him. How about this? Angels ministered to Christ after the temptation, Matthew chapter 4. Verse number 11. The devil comes, right? Look what it says here. Verse number 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. What'd they do? Encouraged him. Yeah. Who else could have? Besides God himself, who else could have? Came and ministered unto him and encouraged him after he had been through the most, I want you to think about it this way. He had just been around the most evil being in the world, nonstop mind games for that entire time. Nonstop, demonic, absolute, Satan-in-your-face temptations for all that time. And please don't think because he was God in the flesh that it was any easier to take. Because remember, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything to benefit himself. Christ did nothing to benefit himself. So here he took on the full force of satanic temptation. Full force. That's why those angels came and gave him a little bit of heaven. Because he needed it. Right? Remember, he made himself a man. You're going to be farther and farther away from the Lord if you don't draw closer to the Lord through his humanity. You really will be. Because that's how you know him better. That's how you understand him better, is what he suffered. That's why we're to look to him. We look to him because of what he suffered and that he was successful for us. So then we look to him and then we're comforted through that. All right. And at Gethsemane, Luke chapter 22, which was worse? Gethsemane or Matthew 4? I don't know. I would have to say it this way. Matthew 4 prepared him for Gethsemane, just like it prepares you. You understand? The trials that you're going through now are preparing you for the worst ones that are ahead. They're strengthening you for what's ahead. And you look at the trials that you're going through now, and you're thinking, man, this is bad. Are you serious? It's going to get worse. Well, you may handle it better, though, because of these. But there had to be that Matthew chapter 4 temptation of Satan before there was Gethsemane. Luke chapter 22, verse number 43. Look again. Let's read verse number 42. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Father, if there's a way, you be willing. Thou be willing. Remove this cup from me. It was a mighty nasty cup to drink. The sins of the world. The baptism that he was baptized with. It's likened to a cup, to a baptism. Isn't it? Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Well, he's sweating drops of blood. So an angel comes to minister unto him, to strengthen him. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? So angels have an important ministry, don't they? How about at the resurrection? Angels rolled away the stone from Christ's tomb in Matthew 28. Verse number 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. The angel of the Lord, the same one that talked to Philip in Acts chapter 8, says, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Those stones were big. Very big. Boulders. And he rolled it away. And then, of course, they appeared to the disciples as well. They assist in the Great Commission. Though they don't preach the gospel, they assist in it. Angels brought the apostles out of prison. Acts chapter 5, we see Peter being brought out of prison. We already covered that a couple months ago. They directed Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch, which we're talking about right now. The angels instructed Cornelius to call Peter. Very specific instructions. The angel in Acts chapter 12 brought Peter out of prison. Right? Yep. Brought him out of prison. Helped Paul in Acts chapter 27. Turn there. Verse number 23, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So what did he do? He encouraged him. Since the days of the apostles, the angels continue to minister to the saints. Angels watch over children who believe in Christ. Matthew chapter 18. Verse number 6 and 10. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, if it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. And then in verse number 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Yep. When Paul wrote to Timothy, actually, let me back up here. Since the days of the apostles, we find in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, says the angels sometimes appear as strangers. We talked about that. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he charged him before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. Who are the elect angels? The good ones. The ones that didn't fall. They're the elect angels. Which would mean that the angels were aware of Paul's writings, and they were observers of the things in the church as they were watching. In 1 Corinthians 11:10, where the woman is instructed to cover her head as a sign of submission to authority because of the angels, they are observers, Paul said, that we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men in 1 Corinthians 4:9. Right? 1 Corinthians 4:9, they said that we are made a spectacle. The angels are watching. They're witnesses of the business of gospel preaching. Angels are also involved in warning and in judgment. We see that all over the scriptures. Psalm 78, verse number 49. He casts upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation, and trouble by sending evil angels among them. Revelation, or Acts chapter 12, verse number 23. Similar story, or similar work. Acts 12, 23. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. That was Herod, Got too big for his britches. Thought it was funny to try to kill Peter. Revelation 8. Didn't end up working, though, did it? Verse 6 through 12. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So they sound the warning. They sound the trumpet. They have judgment. Like that trumpet. What's that? Yes. These? Yes, they will see them. When does it change? Well, the reason why you don't see angels coming now is because you have the completed revelation. So you don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need those visits. But when God changes the plan, when the plan progresses and things change and Antichrist comes on the scene, then you will see angels again, because Satan's power is in full force on this earth. And then you will see the war in the heavens comes down. What does it say? Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. That's when the war changes, when they're all kicked out of heaven. And the battle comes here. The battle's not here yet. When the gospel is being preached before the word of God, they didn't have this. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have it. None of these people had it yet. So that's why you had to have those. They were forthtelling of things. They were telling of the future. They were ministers that were visible to them in order to accomplish something specific. They were sent for specific reasons. But now we don't need that. We have the Bible. We have God's word. Another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Anyway, so over and over again, we have that. Angels desire to look into the gospel. They desire to look into what's going on. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They're watching. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers, where are they? In heavenly places. There's your principalities and powers that he talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. They watch, and to make all men see, look at verse number 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. The church is the manifold wisdom of God. That's what they look into. That's what they watch. They see. They look at. Angels will return with Christ and divide the saved from the unsaved in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 41. How about Matthew 24? Let's go to Matthew 13. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then in Matthew 24, or I think it's 25, isn't it? No, it is 24:31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's the reapers. Yep. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a rapture of the but first, so many people believe the rapture of the wicked is first. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians 1. The rapture of the wicked. Who preached that sermon? What's that? You remember who preached that sermon? No, not Reg Kelly. He's pre-trib. John Weaver. I heard that. I didn't listen to it, but I've heard it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Amen. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you go. Angels will be witnesses of Jesus' judgment on men after his return. In Luke 12, 8 and 9, we find that. An angel will bind Satan in Revelation 20. Verse 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. That's going to be some sight to see. Big old chain and a key in his hand. All right. Come on, you beast. Time to go. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So angels also guard the gates of the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21. Verse number 12. And had a great wall, had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates, oh, that's, yes, and the gates, 12 angels, and at the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 12 angels. So, what we find here, there are primary uses of how the angels deal with men, their ministry, how they minister. We find the use of the word archangel once, right? So we see that use there. In amidst that, all of that, there you have the seraphim, the cherubim, the archangel. You know, you have some angelic company there. You have a group of different beasts and beings there that are created as well. Satan is called the anointed cherub that covereth. Doesn't say he was, it says he is. A lot of people say, no, that's not, he's not that anymore. Oh, yes, he is. It says he is. It doesn't say he was. Still is. The intimate connection of the angels with the affairs of the kingdom of God is seen with the rejoicing of angels over one sinner that repents in Luke 15, 7. And in the promise of Christ to confess his followers before God and his holy angels. So Jesus speaks of those angels being in the presence of God, and that he would speak the name of his saints to those, to his Father and his holy angels that are there around him. So These angels oppose the purposes and designs of Satan. Not in their own name, but in the name of the Lord, right? Turn to Jude, we find that. I think it was Moses, wasn't it? He was, am I in the right chapter here? I think I am. Let's see. Yep, 9, verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So, here we have Michael the archangel, who is called the archangel. He stands in the presence of God, right? And he also stands up to Satan here and tries opposes Satan's purpose. When we have back in the Old Testament, we've seen Daniel was talking about the prince of Persia, and Gabriel and Michael were there to help him fight that war that was going on there with the principalities. And he said, I'd have been here sooner, but I was fighting with the prince of Persia. Took me a while to get here. Had a little bit of a battle, but I finally got here. Right? That's what he says pretty much in there. And he says, I got here. There was a battle going on. Makes you wonder that when I'm praying, how much of a battle there's going on, right? When you're praying, what kind of battle is going on in the heavens? Well, maybe you're not praying, so there ain't no battle going on. Make you wonder, huh? As far as the battle, as far as your concern goes. But anyway, the angels, they oppose the purposes and designs of Satan. They execute the putative judgments of God upon the incorrigible wicked. We see Herod was taken out by an angel. Right? God can do that. God will use his angels to do that. We know that these angels exert influence over rulers and governments. We know that. We know evil ones do as well as good ones. When God has a purpose, they're sent to do it. The lying spirit that was sent. Right? He went to lie to the king. The angel helped with Cornelius getting the gospel and instructing him to go get Peter. They exercise care over children as well, like we talked about. They are actively employed in maintaining free course and availability of the Word of God, as indicated by a mighty angel holding in his hand the little book, which talk in Revelation 10. Like one quote by this man, he says, people can know nothing of angels except what God has revealed through the Bible. And even from the Bible, it is possible to make incorrect deductions. But some things are definitely clear. There are countless millions of angels whom God created to perform his will throughout a vast theater of operations, cosmic in dimensions, with particular emphasis upon those matters that concern the salvation of people. Great as the privileges of angels appear to be, it would seem that there are two prerogatives not given them. It is not recorded that any of them ever preached the gospel, nor is it, besides the everlasting gospel at the end that he speaks of, that's the only time that we see that, which it doesn't really tell us why, doesn't give us anything, but that's the end, right? It is not recorded that any of them preached the gospel, nor is it besides that one, nor is it indicated that they have the power to reproduce themselves. Worshipping of the angels is forbidden, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18. Better turn there. Yes, they do. They pray to them. The Bible forbids them to pray to the host of heaven. Colossians chapter 1. I think it's the wrong verse. Yeah, it is in there. I just don't know where it is exactly. I got the wrong reference. Yeah, where is that? I think I got the wrong chapter. But anyway, it talks about the worship of angels, that the Bible forbids that. They have no mediatorial function between God and man, the position being reserved only to Christ. By the way, I thought this was really interesting. This is a side note, but before I forget it, I want to... Did you know that the word advocate is only one time in the Bible? Isn't that interesting? My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The reason is because there's only one advocate. There isn't another one. He's it. And it's only once in the Bible for that reason. That's something? Anyway, that was just something I studied the other day. All right. I'm supposed to be done by now, but I'm not. Oh my goodness, I'm not even near done yet. I might have to have a part two to this. Is it 2:18? Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body. Amen. All right, let me back up here. You know, I think I'm going to stop, and we'll pick this up next week. And I'll just continue on with this, and we'll get as far as we can. We can do that. Isn't that nice? There's more. What's that? Visually ministering? Well, will be or is? Well, Paul would have been the last one that, well, John would have been the last one on the Isle of Patmos because John was older than all of them and John lived longer than all of them. That would be the last recorded time that an angel visited with the revelation or the message. That's the last time. But because there's an angel to the church of all those, right? So, there was an angel that gave the message to John at that time. After that, well, I didn't get to that because I don't have time to finish, and I've already been going for about an hour, so I'm going to stop, and we'll just pick it up because we'll pick up with angels. We'll talk about angels again, but you have to understand the revelation is closed. Revelation chapter 22 closes it. Paul talks about, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that and that which you have received, let him be accursed. So he's warning of that. Then the revelation, when he tells us in Revelation 22, right, which I was going to get to, but I ran out of time. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. Now, the Bible does say that you can entertain them unawares. But as far as a direct revelation and a message, well, I'll ask you this question. What would be the use? If they tell you something contrary to the scriptures, then you wouldn't want to hear it. If they told you something that agreed with the scriptures, what do you need to hear from them when we have a more sure word of prophecy right here? So we already have everything that we need. That's why we don't have that. Now, there are going to be a lot of those signs and wonders in the end. Yes, they are still ministering. Right, we're not aware of it. Right, and the reason for that is because you wouldn't want something that would take your focus off of needing the Bible. Well, also off needing the Word of God. Because if you were looking for angelic visits and special spirits power and special revelations and things like that, then you would not depend on God's Word. Right. Right. You would gravitate towards that naturally. Right. And that's why the revelation was closed after that. And that's why he had John close it with that. Because there was nothing left that needed to be said that you needed to hear that you won't hear. And matter of fact with that is that when those angels do speak in the end times, you will know if they speak according to this book whether their message is right. But see, that's coming now, and we didn't get into it. But I was going to talk about, William Branham and his and his what he called an angel that came to him. And it wasn't, it was an evil angel. It was an unclean spirit. Yeah, they all do. So, you know, understanding those things, you have to understand that there was a, those signs and wonders were done for a reason. They were specific. And that, otherwise, they wouldn't have been special. Zechariah wouldn't have almost fainted in there if that was a normal thing for him to see that. And all these people that act like they sit around and talk to angels all day and they're doing all this stuff, you know they're not, because, first of all, if you were talking to an angel of the Lord, your reactions wouldn't be what these people's reactions are. It's not, there was always fear with that. Right. And what God's angels are not going to manifest to you if you ask them to. They wouldn't. Yeah. They only do what the Lord has them to do. They're not persuaded by man. So what will communicate with them, what does appear to them, are devils. And it shows by the fruit of what they follow. But we'll continue to talk about that next week. I think we'll pick it back up here and do a little more with that. I've got quite a bit more, and I can add some things to it too to finish that out on angels. But I put some, and then about also what Christians can learn from angels as well, because there's some things that we could learn. Yep. Do they aid in his omnipresence? Well, God knows everything, so he's not like Satan, where Satan has to have a network of fallen angels to watch you and to know what you're doing. God doesn't need that, because he is everywhere, and he hears everything, and he sees everything, and he knows everything. So there, he doesn't need that network. Satan copies off that in the sense of using the network to spy on you. On the believers, right, to hurt you and to tempt you and to trap you. But God doesn't need an angel to really report to him as far as what's going on. They do, because the Bible says the sons of God came in to present themselves. And I think that's more probably out of respect, and plus they want to be with God. So, you know, they want to be near the throne of God. Their existence is the same as yours is, to praise God. That's why they were created, to praise God. And that's what they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. Right, which almost killed him, was standing by with a sword ready to kill him. And the only thing, God used that, the dumb ass, to save his life. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, that's what he used. So, that's what he used to save him. Keep him from dying. Because God was going to kill him. And he was going to have the angel of the Lord do it. So, there are specific uses, and then you have to, next week we'll probably look at more of the issue of comparing what people talk about their angelic visits, so to speak, and the things that they say that they have now, as opposed to what the scriptures say, what God's word shows about those things. We're not to seek those things. That's why you entertain strangers. That's teaching Christian hospitality is what it's saying. But it's also telling you that you never know, you may entertain one unawares, that, and you not know it. There's a difference in that and, you know, seeking visitations and visions. These people seek visitations and visions. The Bible never tells us to seek those things, or to seek the Word of God, or to seek the Lord in the Bible. Not, that's right, we're not supposed to seek visions and you know, signs and wonders and all those things. Right. I think it was Bill Schneblin or somebody like that. I read this account and it was the strangest thing. I wish I could find it. Maybe I can find it by next week. I want to read it to you just so you get that there's Bill Schneblin. He said that him and his wife were sitting in the room and these two angels walked in and sat with them and like talked with them for hours or something like that in his living room. What's that? I it was something weird like that. They sat there with him and his wife the whole time. I'm like, are you sure you're not still a witch, man? Because that's the strangest thing I ever heard. You know, it doesn't line up with the scriptures at all. Yeah, exactly. And then you look at the fruit of it, how he's going Hebrew roots and he's got all this other spooky stuff going on. That shows you what spirit it is. It's all distraction. See, I believe devils would... What I'm trying to tell you is, and we're not talking about bad angels really, but here's the thing. Devils are going to manifest to people because they break God's order and they manifest to people because they're rebellious. Angels aren't going to do that. They only work on God's command if God tells them to do something. These devils, these unclean spirits, these fallen angels, they will manifest to people. And they do. And it's going to get worse. And it's coming to where it's going to get a lot worse. A lot worse. So that's why we need to be able to discern what good angels do. Discern what the Bible says about that and their work and what they're meant to do. And we'll get into talking about what they're made of and some other things like that. We'll get into a bunch of that stuff next week. But I'm kind of glad we took our time with this. I think it's an important topic. I think it's good to understand this. And it's good to dig in a little bit into these topics and understand that. And I haven't taught on angels for I don't know how long. I don't even know when the last time I taught on that was. What's that? I've never taught on angels before? Did I teach on them? Oh, I know I taught on the sons of God. Anyway, go ahead, brother. Right, whatever he wanted. That battle to test Daniel's faith. Daniel was tested. They don't want to be worshipped. Right. Trafficking people. Well, he disobeys him. Now he's in rebellion to everything that God ever said. He wanted to be God. Yeah, he wanted to be God. And then like all of the, and if you notice, like all these spirits and people that they follow, these brides of Satan and all this other stuff that goes on out there, the witches and all that, they serve these spirits. And these spirits rule over them. Right. But they're not. They want worship too. Those spirits want worship. And Satan desires worship. That's why he comes in many forms. That's why Satan's, John Trapp, I got to stop, but John Trapp, he said it was either Trapp or, I can't remember who it was. No. William Grinnell. He said Satan's most dangerous way he comes to you is in Samuel's cloak. In Samuel's mantle, wrapped in Samuel's mantle. That's what he said. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because that's what he did with that, when Saul went to the Witch of Endor, that familiar spirit came wrapped in Samuel's mantle. Yeah, That's a good book. William Grinhall's book. That's really good. Take a long time to read, but boy, is it good. Anyway, you all need to get home, man. You're tired. You're looking pretty tired, Ryan. I better get you home, man. You're